We begin on Tazayin Amud Aleph. We are on the fourth line. And the Gemara gives us a simin, Rechov Teva Sakim, Efer Efer Kvura Umoria. Simin. These are the simanim. These are the very brief topics that we're going to be discussing in the next 15 to 20 lines, which essentially goes through the Mishnah with a few tangents that are actually not discussed in the Mishnah, but are discussed in a Yerushalmi in this area. So the Gemara brings them up. But anyway, the siman is apparently a very important thing, so much so that you can't make a siman on a mesecht or on shas without going through the simanim. Simanim are a very big deal. Anyway, the Gemara says, Lama Yotzen the Rechov. So the Mishnah had said that we go out to the streets and we pray to Hashem for to give us rain. Why do we go out to the street? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Lomar Za'aknu Betzina. It is to say that we have cried out to Hashem Betzina in the comfort of our homes and in the comfort of our shuls. V'lo nanu. Naninu, but we have not been answered. Nivze atzmeinu b'farhesya. Therefore, we will embarrass ourselves. We will degrade ourselves in public to go out in public and pray to Hashem there. Ulai, that will help. Reish Lakish shamar galinu. We are putting ourselves into gullus, so to speak. Meaning we are taking ourselves out of our comfort area, meaning our shuls that we're accustomed to. And we're bringing ourselves out to the street. Hopefully, galuseinu mechaperes aleinu. Our galus should be a kapara for us.
And going out in the sukkah.
Going out in the sukkah.
No, we all same idea there.
That the sukkah is our galus.
Yeah, there was a kazer galus from the Seis Menchuva, so we go in the sukkah.
And the galus should be
the galus,
a kapara. Very nice.
You ever heard that before?
I am sure I've heard of that before. I probably forgot it in the meantime. But I appreciate you. I'm not sure if I forgot it. Assumption is I forgot it.
The first explanation I kind of have a problem with because Nivze Atzmeinu. Like
you see, now you're sitting in Moshe Stengel's seat, and now you all of a sudden have to. You got to give me some Moshe
Stengel. It's a spiritual ruach of this area.
I'll never be able to match this level. Nivze Atzmeinu, like we embarrass ourselves, but everybody is doing it. Embarrassing yourself because everyone's doing it, you know.
Yeah, right. I don't know if we're saying that we're going to. I don't know if it's embarrassing ourselves in terms of. I mean,
like
I think that we're
like
we're changing
degrading ourselves.
Be Zion. Yes, we're degrading ourselves. Yeah, meaning, he's saying, in what respect are we degrading ourselves? Everybody was doing the same thing, and in what respect are we degrading ourselves? I don't know. I mean, I think you're making yourself uncomfortable. I mean, to be standing out in the streets among people that you don't normally daven with. I mean, I don't want to daven with the Gronics. I don't want to have him with the Grammy Kneshmo. Come on. I don't like these guys.
Yeah, but
right?
Everyone's Kneshmo.
Good point. No, good point.
Right? I mean, I'm making a good point here. I want to have him with my base tefillah guys.
But it's not like base tefillah or anything.
Come on. I mean, Shari tefillah? Shari tefillah? Shari tefillah is a bunch of defects. I mean, they just defected from our. I can't have him with that. So it's a bizayon.
Saying, like.
I don't know the answer. My assumption is that when you're out in the streets davening among people and in a venue that you're not accustomed to, there's a shtickl bizayon there. Bizayon, I don't know, bizayon, I don't know.
Bizayon is not embarrassing. Bizayon is more like degrading or disgracing.
Right. I mean, the fact that we have to change our venue to get answered is an inherent bizayon. Whether we feel the bizayon or not, it's a bizayon. It's a bizayon that we need to do such a thing. Anyway, these are the two opinions as to why we go out. Maybe it's because we should be mevazer ourselves b'farhesya, according to one opinion, or according to Reish Lakish, it's because we're hoping that our galus is going to be mechaper on us. So my binayu, what is the difference between these two opinions? Ike binayu, the nafkamina is the galum b'beknishta l'beknishta. What if you were to go to one shul, to one from one shul to another? What if you were to daven in the Gros shul when the Gros people are not davening? So, according to the first opinion, who says that we should be mevaza ourselves bifarhesia, well, if you go to another shul, that's not bifarhesia anymore. You're just going from one private place to another private place. There's no farhesia there, so that wouldn't accomplish anything. But according to Reish Lakish, who wants to say that it's we're hoping that our gullus is going to be mechaper, it's still a gullus because you're pulling yourselves out of your generally accustomed place to daven. So that would be a nafkamina according to the two opinions. The Lama Motzien es HaTeva, the next step is why we take the Teva, the Aron HaKodesh, out, the Rehova Shal'ir, to the city with us. Amir Rabbi Shulman Levi Loimar, Klitzanu HaHayalanu. We had a modest Kli. The Aron was modestly sitting in its place. V'nizbaze bavonenu. And it became nizbaze with our sins. Now, in what respect did it become nizbaze? Because, I think this is the Tiferes Yisrael explains this way, that because we don't have the rain, so we have to fast. And because we have to fast, the fast pulls us away from Limudat Torah and the things that we do with the Sifrei Torah and the Aron v'chule. So the Aron has become misbaze in that it's not used, it's not learned as much. The Torah is not learned as much as it was before. So because of all these things that have happened, we have downgraded Chalila, the Aron and the Sefer Torah as a result.
Is it forgotten or is it like denigrated?
Denigrated is a better word. Balaman and Miskasim Besakim, why do we clothe ourselves in Sakim? Now this is actually not in the Mishnah. This is actually brought down in the Yerushalmi. But the Gemara wants to bring it up anyway here. Balaman and Miskasim Besakim, why do we cover ourselves in Sakim? Amr Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Loimar. This is to say, Hare Anu Chashuvim.
I don't understand what you mean by Yerushalmi.
The Yerushalmi brings down all these things that we do. The Gemara Yerushalmi brings down...
What do you mean it brings
it down?
Like
it down in the Mishnah?
It's bringing it down here, now here.
Right.
You mean the Mishnah?
In the Mishnah,
in the Mishnah. Yeah, I think in the Yerushalmi it's brought down.
You mean in the Mishnah, in the gifts of in the Yerushalmi's gifts of the Mishnah, is that what you mean?
Yes, apparently. It's learned in the Mishnah and the Yerushalmi. I can tell you exactly where. The beginning of the Perek is brought down in the Yerushalmi. In the Mishnah's version, I guess in the Yerushalmi's version of the Mishnah, it's brought down. They used to put sackcloth around their waists. This is what it says in the Yerushalmi.
Is it so uncommon for a Mishnah in the Bavli to be different than the Yerushalmi?
Yeah. I would wanna. It's not common. It's not common at all. I would wanna see the Yerushalmi's version of the Mishnah, and how exactly it learns that. It is a little bit odd. What? Okay. Lashana haba. Lashana haba. Why do we clothe ourselves in sackcloth? Amr Rav Chiya Bar Abba Loimar Harena Chashuvin Kebehema. Because we're what we're saying by dressing ourselves in the sackcloth is we are chashuv, we are considered like behemos. Now, what does this mean? We're considered like behemos. What's the connection? Says Rashi, ke behema, demiseir behema ninhu, because the sackcloth is made out of the clothing, out of the hair of the behema. Minutzo shel izim. It's made out of the fabric, the hair of the izim of goats. That's what sackcloth is made out of. Now, the Marsha has an issue with this Rashi. Why? Because what do we clothe ourselves in? Wool. And wool is from sheep. So anyway, even on a normal day, we're clothing ourselves in. So what does this mean? Right? That's a pshat. It's a little bit, Rashi is a little shver, so Marsha wants to say a different pshat. The Marsha wants to say that what they used to do is, and I guess in the winter months, they used to put sackcloth on the behemos to keep it warm. And so now we're taking the sackcloth from the behemoths and we're putting it on ourselves. So we are
nechshavim. On a horse, before you put on the saddle, you put on one of those.
Right, right. What was that, the Triple Crown owner? He got some stuff, Triple Crown owner.
I think he got the fanciest sackcloth.
He got the sackcloth.
That was the previous one.
That was a $20,000 sackcloth. But I'm talking about your average stump owner of a horse. He puts on this horse blanket.
Okay, got it.
Just pointing it out. I thought you'd be interested.
I'm very interested.
Just in case you have to buy a horse.
That's what I was going to do right after this year.
Don't tell your wife.
I will not tell my wife.
We're not implying that the fabric is made from a different animal. We're saying that they're both similar.
No, I don't think so. I don't think we could be talking about. Rashi says menutza shel izin, but the point is sackcloth itself is something that is adorned on animals. So by us dressing ourselves in sackcloth, that in itself is saying we are nechshav kebehema.
Yeah, but these days everyone wears this kind of stuff for comfort.
What, the horse blanket, you're saying? You wear that for comfort?
Really?
I don't know.
It's not
so often I'm wearing it. What?
Your cousins have what?
My cousins have a carpet of a fox. Basically, the outside of a fox.
What about them wearing it on there?
Right.
Your cousins in Israel?
No, that's considered like high end fancy types. Talking about on the floor.
Yeah. But yeah, they're on the couch.
But that's like the
right, but they don't put it on themselves.
No, but they also have that.
What do they have?
Oh, you're talking like fur coats.
You're talking mink. You're talking about mink. You're talking about mink. Yeah.
Oh, it has to be real animal stuff. It can't look like it at least.
No, fancy stuff.
But with the fur coat like that, that's something that would be like something that like you're wealthy.
Those are nice clothing. Sackcloth is not nice. Sackcloth is ugly.
Think like a burlap sack.
It's not comfortable either.
It's not comfortable. Yeah, it's probably scratchy and itchy. Yeah. It's probably not very good. So we're next to the behemoth. We're taking the same clothes we put on the behemoths and we put it on ourselves.
Well, they're a lot more comfortable in there.
What?
They're a lot more comfortable in their sackcloth than we would be wearing.
Okay, yeah, that is something that I definitely wanted to know. Yes, okay, Velama knows the Afer Mikla. The next one is the Afer. Why do we put on Afer Mikla Agabe Teva? So we apparently put the Afer Mikla on the Aron itself. So this is very interesting here. Amar of Yehuda ben Pazi, Kiloimar, that is to say, Imo Anochi Betzara. It is like Hashem is saying by ordering us to put the ashes on the teva. It's imo anochi b'tzara, that I am with them. I am with Klal Yisrael in their tzara. Reish Lakish Amar. Reish Lakish says differently. Listen to this. He says bechol tzarasam lo tzar. In all of their tzaros, there is a tzar for him too, for Hashem too.
It's almost
exactly the same. It's a pella. It's a little bit of a pella that Reish Lakish is coming here and saying. It's almost like he's arguing, but like in what respect is he arguing? He's quoting a different pasuk. I get it, but he's saying almost the same thing. There's a very very subtle nuance to what he's saying.
There isn't. The first pasuk is maybe one individual.
Okay.
So the second pasuk could be a whole balagan of tzar.
Yeah. Okay. That's one possibility. I'll tell you another slight nuance in these conceptually. Okay, Imo Anochi Betzara is saying, Klal Yisrael is in its tzara. I am in the same tzara with them. That's the image of Hashem appearing to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Sneh She'enenu Ukal in the Sneh Boer Ba'esh. That's Klal Yisrael. They are wrapped up in this blaze of torture. So Hashem presents himself in a blaze of torture because he is experiencing the same torture. But b'chol tzarasam lo tzar. In all of their tzara, it is a tzar for Hashem too. That has nothing to do with the reason why they're in tzara. Mashal amad over dama. Let me give you a mashal, okay? This is what the pasuk is saying. B'chot sarasam lo tzar means that because Klal Yisrael is in a tzara, Hashem is in tzara too. Meaning like this. Let's say, for example, the father is waiting at home for his son to come home from school, and the son comes home from school and he's crying. Okay? So immediately when the father sees the son crying, so his heart goes out to the son. Now he has no idea why the son is crying. It could be that he's crying because he skinned his knee. It could be because he's crying because he was made fun of in school. It could be because he's crying because he failed his test. I don't know why. The father doesn't know. But immediately when he sees the son, lo tzar, he's got this pain. He's got this anguish because the son has the anguish. Irrespective of what the anguish is as a result of. Because they're in anguish, so Hashem's in anguish too. Not because of the particular anguish that they're experiencing. It has nothing to do with the fact that there's a Shibud Mitzrayim. It has nothing to do with the fact that there's a tinus and that there's no rain. It's because Klal Yisrael's in pain, so Hashem's in pain. So I think that the pshat is, I think that what Reish Lakish is saying is, he's saying that Usually, if you deal with a typical relationship, father-son, whatever it is, so if the son is experiencing a pain, which is objectively not such a big deal, so then the father might say, you know, you'll be okay. It's not a big deal, right? But the way Hashem is, the way Hashem treats us, says Reish Lakish, is b'chol tzarasam lo tzar, is that if we feel a pain, then Hashem feels the pain with us. So it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's a pain because we're in Shibud Mitzrayim. It doesn't matter if it's a pain because we're making a bar mitzvah and there's 150 people at the meal and the caterer says to us there's no chocolate mousse for dessert.
Food has just been traped up.
And there's no food. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the parents. So what are you going to say?
Bat mitzvah in your backyard, and there's a fire in the valley that day.
Right, Lamushel. Right, just hypothetically speaking. Yeah. Right. So,
what happened to him?
What? Which one?
There's the one on May 23rd.
On May 23rd, there's one today. I'm sure you know about that one.
No, but the one we recoded an hour and a half before the bat mitzvah started, relocated to the shul across the street.
Aye.
Which just happened to be available.
B'chol tzarasam. Oh, because b'chol tzarasam lo tzar, because Hashem saw that you had an ace tzara, so b'chol tzarasam lo tzar. Point is that if we feel on whatever level we're at and whatever tzara we're experiencing, whether it's a big tzara or it's even a minute tzara, Hashem is going to be there for us. Says Reish Lakish, is going to be there for us. Because we're in tzara. That's it. It has nothing to do with the reason why we're in tzara. If Hashem sees we're in tzara, we can call out to Hashem and he's going to be there for us no matter what the tzara is. I think that's what Reish Lakish is alluding at, but it could be wrong.
So when the father sees his kid crying, he would normally try to do as much as he can to help him.
Correct. Right. You would want it, exactly.
I know,
why can Hashem not give rain?
What?
So why can Hashem not give rain?
Why can Hashem not
give rain? Why can Hashem not give rain? You'll see.
Correct. Right. That's the hope is that by bringing Hashem into the mix, that Hashem is going to give rain. That's the whole point. That's why we're doing it. Giving them no choice. Amar Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira says, Mireish, the first time in the beginning, the first time ki havina chazin l'hul rabbanan diavi Ephraim Mikle al gabi teva, the first time I saw the rabbanan put Ephraim Mikle on top of the teva, on top of the yaron, mizdazeli kuli gufai, my entire body was trembling. It was such a pachad. It was such an unbelievable experience. Notice he says Mireish, it's the first time. But after that, it kind of like got used to it. What?
Is the Mizbeah Kataris or the Mizbeah in the
Yad Mizbeah? No, this is just the Aron Kodesh. Maron Mamashe, you bring the Aron Kodesh out. No, this Aron Kodesh we couldn't bring outside. But the Aron Kodesh, you know, like a Stam Aron Kodesh, you bring it outside.
I think they used to be portable, no?
What?
I think it sounds like that table used to be portable. I mean,
yeah, and some of ours are portable now also.
Yeah, on the train they have portable.
On the train, yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a train. I mean, whatever it is, I guess you take the Sefer Torah out if you can't bring the Aron. I mean, this would be hard for one person to carry.
What about like at the Kotel?
What?
Two Kotel. They have all the.
Yeah, same type of deal. Exactly. Aron on wheels. Yeah. There's a company like that. Aron on wheels. Okay. Anyway.
Meals on wheels.
What? Oh, that's Meals on Wheels. Sorry, scratch that. Okay. Anyway. Fine.
The Rakim Machim for Sefer Torah.
Yeah, and Hanami, of course, for Avelus and whatnot. Okay, Velamanos and Efer Barosh Kalechad Ve'echad. Why do we put Efer on each person's head? Pligi Be'er Rav Levi Bar Chama, Rav Chanina. This is the machlokis between these two Amoraim. Chad Amar Harino Chashuv Nefanecha Ke'efer. The reason is because we're saying to Hashem, we are in front of you like Efer, like ashes. We're humbling ourselves. The Chanamar Kadesh Yizkor Lano Efro Shel Yitzchak, and one of them says it's because we want Hashem to remember the Efro Shel Yitzchak and have pity on us.
What's the Efro Shel Yitzchak?
The Efer Shel Yitzchak was when the aisle, essentially the ashes that came from the aisle that was burned on the Mizbeach. That's the Efer Shel Yitzchak.
Gotcha.
So the Efer is hopefully going to remind Hashem that he loves Klal Yisrael and that he would help us out. My Binayu, what is the difference between these two opinions? Ik Binayu offer stam. Can we use regular dirt? So if you're going to say that the reason why we put Efer is because we're saying Harianu Chashum Lefanecha Ke Efer, we are like ashes. So Efer and Ofer are actually quite the same. As our Avram Avinu said, Anochi, Ofer Ve'efer. So they're essentially the same thing. So if you're just going to say I'm like dirt in front of you or I'm like ashes in front of you, you could use Ofer Stam. But if you're going to say it's Dafka to remember Ayel Shel Yitzchak, then you need ashes because that's what came about the burning of the aisle. So that's a nafkamina. Lama Yotzin Lebeis HaKvaros. Why do we go out to the Beis HaKvaros, which is again not in our Mishnah, but it's stated in the Yerushalmi? Why do we go out to the Beis HaKvaros? Pligi bar Rav Levi bar Chama Rav Chanina. Chadam or Harenu Chashuv Mlevanecha Kemesim. Again, we're humbling ourselves and saying we are like Mesim in front of you, Hashem. The Chadam or Kadesh Yevakshu Aleinu Mesim Rachamim. And one is because we want the Mesim to intercede on our behalf. So we go to the Beis HaKvaros. It's interesting. Why do we call it Beis HaKvaros and not Beis HaKvarim? Kever plural is Kvarim. No? Where do we get Kvaros from? It's a Hebrew. It should be a Kever, it should be Zachar. So it should be Kvarim. It should be Beis HaKvarim, no? Anyway, I'm not going to get hung up on this, but it bothers me to no end. Anyway, my Binahu. I'm very hung up on it. My Binahu, what is the difference between these two opinions? Ika Binahu, Kivrei Akum. Can one go to the Kivrei Akum, to the Kavarim of non-Jews? So if you're going to say that the reason why we go out to the Beis HaKvaros is because we're saying to Hashem, Harayonu Lefanecha Kemesim, so then it doesn't make a difference which Kavarim you go to. You can go to the Kever of the Rambam, or you go to the Kever of Aristotle. It doesn't really make a difference, because we're saying the same, making the same statement to Hashem. But if you're going to say that the reason why we go to the Beis HaKvaros is because we want Hashem we want the Mason to intercede on our behalf, we don't want the Mesei Akum to intercede on our behalf. They need to intercede on their own behalf.
We're talking about the Avodah Zarah?
Yeah, well, I mean Goyim. Goyim. We don't want Goyim to do it. I think there's a Rashi on this. No, there isn't. Yeah, Kivrei Akum Rashi says, B'makum she'ein Kivrei Yisrael avakesh rachmin afilu al atzman leka kol shekein aleinu. Right? They can't be mavakesh rachmin for themselves. Certainly they can't be mavakesh rachmin for us. So if you're going to say the reason why we go to the Beis HaKvaros is because we want the Mason to intercede on our behalf, that wouldn't happen if it's talking about Goyim.
But with the situation, what about the situation with Shmuel Novi, where he's brought back from the underworld, and he brought like Moshe Rabbeinu with him?
Yes, those are all Jews. So yeah.
So if it's a Jew, you can
Shmuel
bring
Moshe.
Jew, you can bring him back. What?
Shmuel and Moshe Jews. Yeah.
Oh, I hear that. Oh, they're Jew.
Yeah. Okay, finally the Gemara ends off. Because we had the previous machlokas was between Rabbi Levi Bar Chama and Rabbi Chanina, we have a similar machlokas here between the two. And otherwise this passage, the next five lines has nothing to do with our Gemara per se. My Har Hamoria, what does it mean, Har Hamoria? What does that mean? Why is it called Har Hamoria? Pligi again, Rabbi Levi Bar Chama and Rabbi Chanina. Chadam or Har Shiyatzim Yemenu Hora Li Yisrael. It was the mountain that Hora was given out to Yisrael, that Hora being Har Sinai. And so according to some opinions, Har HaMoria, which is really the Makom HaMikdash, and it's not Har Sinai, some people say that Har HaMoria coupled, kind of doubled over to Har Sinai, and so it became the same mountain. Different opinions about how you understand this. But at any rate, so some people say it's called Har HaMoriah because that's where the Hora came out to Yisrael at Matan Torah. The Chadam or Har Sheyatzim Yemenu Mora LeOvdei Kochavim. This was the mountain in which the Ovdei Kochavim experienced this awe because of, again, Klal Yisrael receiving the Torah, and that's that. Okay, back to our Mishnah. Hazaken, right? The Mishnah says that what we do is the Zaken Shabahan, the eldest of the group, they Omer Lefneim Divrei Kivushin, right? They say, he says humbling words to the people. And we'll see what those humbling words are, but before we get there, the Gemara says, Hazaken Shabahan Omer Lefneim Divrei Kivushin, Tanu Rabbanan, right? Mr. Kallis, when the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan, how many Rabbanan are we talking about here?
I don't know.
You don't know. Come on, what kind of education are you getting here at Torah Moshe? Oh, I did ask before. Okay, so I'm forgetting.
You didn't say the answer.
I didn't say the answer. It's a ton of Rabbanan. It's a ton of Rabbanan. All right. It wasn't quite the response I was hoping for, but okay, we'll take it.
How many times do you tell us that joke?
Listen, I've never heard it before. I was expecting a little bit more of a reaction. Tana Rabbanan.
It's just not funny anymore.
All right, I guess not. In B'ej Zaken, we need another guy. That's what we need, another guy in the shir. Tana Rabbanan.
Well, it's your first time here.
I know. I'm saying you didn't give me the reaction I was really hoping for. I was hoping for a little bit of a boost tonight. Im Yesh Zaken, because there's really few people.
Try again next week. We'll see how it goes.
All right, thank you. Im Yesh Zaken, if there is a Zaken there, Omer Zaken, then the Zaken should say these Divrei Kivushin. V'im Lav, and if there's no Zaken, then Omer Chacham. Then we should get a Chacham. Now, the Gemara over here, obviously, is implying that the Zaken is not a Chacham. Right? The Gemara is going to take issue with that. Wow. But anyway, Ve'im Lav. What?
Not necessarily.
Right. The Gemara is going to say not necessarily. I'm just saying what the Gemara is going to say. You're right. The Gemara is going to say not necessarily also. It's going to answer exactly like you answered. Ve'im Lav, Omer Adam Shel Tzura. And if you don't have a Zakein or you don't have a Chacham, then you have an Adam Shel Tzura. You have a man of posture. A daunting individual. A man, what?
Who is that?
A seven foot two. A Shaquille O'Neal type of person,
well,
right?
That's reassuring.
I don't know if I'd have Shaquille, but you know, if you have one of those other guys, David Robinson is a better. You know, he's a better guy. Anyway, Atu Zakein de Ka'amri Afal Gavdalav Chacham Hu. So the Gemara asks my question. Says, wait a minute. The Gemara implies that you have a Zakein who's not a Chacham, right? Because it says first you take the Zakein, and if there's no Zakein, you take a Chacham. So what's the pshat? So atu zaken the ka'amri afagav the lav chacham hu. You're going to tell me the zaken is not a chacham? You should definitely have a zaken as a chacham. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Hachi Kamar." No. This is what the Mishnah really means to say: im yish zaken vehu chacham, like you say. If there's a zaken who is a chacham, then omer zaken vehu chacham. Then you have that guy say it. That's the optimal case. Ve'im lav. But if you don't have that, Omer Chacham, then you just take a wise person, even if he's not elderly. Ve'im lav, and if you don't even have anybody wise, then Omer Adam Shel Tzura, then you just take a guy, you take the David Robinson, you just have him get up there and say the words, okay? He's not going to say this anyway. What? Okay, Shaquille O'Neal.
No, we're talking about like a successful businessman, a person of stature in the community, right?
What?
Shaquille O'Neal. A Moshe Reichman.
I actually think... If you look at Rashi, the Ramaskal Adam Shel Tzura.
My Navy service.
Oh, was it? Okay, so if you take Adam Shel... That's what did it.
It was NBA motions. All right,
note to self, no more Shaquille O'Neal jokes. I'm losing my crowd. Adam Shel Tzura. So if you look at Rashi, it says Adam Shel Tzura. Rashi says Bal Koma. It's a very, very tall person. It's a man of big stature. So it doesn't seem like this person has to be of spiritual...
It's a physical description?
I think it's a physical description of a person who's...
Just because he's tall, he can speak well? I don't get it.
No, he's daunting.
He commands
the presence of the people. And he's booming. He's a booming voice. And he's a big guy. And it's like, whoa. Like, this guy's, Shaquille O'Neal.
Maybe he's like charismatic or something.
What? He doesn't say charismatic. He says he's a Bal Koma. What is a Bal Koma? You think Bal Koma is a spiritual thing? I don't think so.
Bal Koma really means he's tall. Really
right. Yeah, he's tall. He's big. He's daunting. He's scary. He's frightening.
He's ugly.
He's Shaquille O'Neal.
No, it doesn't say he's ugly.
Anyway, what does he say?
He's a good speaker or something?
He's a daunting speaker.
He's intimidating.
He's intimidating. He's frightening. And people will listen to a person who's frightening.
Someone who doesn't talk to the heart.
What?
That's what it said before. Someone that knows how to speak in a way that will go and go.
Lahamriches alev. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. He has to be a good speaker too, for sure. Says the Gemara, Achinu. What does he say? He says, my brethren. Okay? Lo sak v'tainis gormim, elatshuva umayisim tovim gormim. Don't think that your sackcloth and your fasting is going to help. It's not going to help. You need to do tshuva umayisim tovim. How do we know such a thing? Shekein matzinu ba'anshe ninveh, because we find the same thing ba'anshe ninveh. It's an interesting thing that we're learning out tshuva from anshe ninveh, but this is kacha the way it is in Yom Kippur as well. We read Yonah. Shalonemar bahem vayar elokim es sakam es hanisam. It does not say by anshe ninveh that Hashem saw their sackcloth and their fasting. Ela vayar elokim es maaseim kishovu medarkam ara. Hashem saw their deeds. They did tshuva. V'yizkasu sakim ha'adam v'behema. It says over there that they dressed up, they dressed themselves up and behemos in sakim, in sackcloth. My havu avdi, what does it mean that they dressed up the behemos in sackcloth? So asri a behemos lechud v'savlados lechud. What it means is that they put the behemos and their vlados separately, their children separately, and they did not allow the vlados to nurse from their mothers. and they cover it up in sackcloth. The mothers, the dadim of the mothers were covered up in sackcloth, so that the children were not able to nurse from the mothers. And Amru, they said to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, im ein atam merachim aleinu, if you don't have rachmanos on us, ein anu merachim aleinu, we're not going to have rachmanos on these poor children who are not able to nurse from their mothers.
That's a great technique.
And they also call out to Hashem mechazak with force. What does it mean they called out to Hashem with force? My Amr, what did they say? Amr lefanav, they said to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, aluv v'she'eno aluv. He which is Aluv is somebody who is slow to get tempered, right? So he is. How does it translate Aluv?
Easily insulted. No.
What?
Easily insulted.
No, not easily insulted. Aluv is somebody
who is slow to anger,
and Eno Aluv is somebody who is quick to get angry, quick tempered, right? So somebody who's slow to get anger and quick to get anger, a tzaddik for Russia, or somebody who's a tzaddik in a Russia, mi nidcha mipnei mi, who is the one who yields to the other one? In other words, it's always the tzaddik who yields to the Russia. The Russia is always the one who's more forceful. And therefore, what we're saying is, you Hashem are the tzaddik and we are the Rishoim, so we are hoping that you will yield to us. Right? So we're hoping you will yield to us. Aluv and Eino Aluv is, maybe it's the inverse. Aluv is somebody who is not, and Aluv is somebody who is, yeah, who is slow-tempered, slow to get angry.
That's Hashem.
What?
That's
yeah,
Hashem.
Exactly. So we're saying to Hashem that we are asking you to yield to our request. V'yashuvu ish midarko hara, u'min ha'chamas asher b'chapeyem, each person repented from their ways and from the chamas, from the gezel that was in their hands, in the palm of their hands. What does that mean, the gezel that was in their hands? Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel says, afilu gezel marish, even if a person stole a marish, which was a beam, ubano babira, and he built that beam into his structure. He built this big house, this big fortress, and inside was this beam that was stolen. Mekakea kol abira kula. What they did was they dismantled the entire structure. Umachzir marish labaylov, and they returned the beam to their rightful owners. So ad kadekach that they did so.
It's different than the sukkah, though. With the sukkah, if you had the beam, you would just pull from the beam. Right?
Correct. And actually, the din is takanas marish. The din is that when it comes to something which you steal and you put in, you do a shinoi maisa. You do an action into that thing which changes the tsura of that thing that you stole. You no longer have to pay back that thing. You could just pay back the money. So the question is, by goyim, is the same thing true by goyim, or do they have to pay back the actual thing? I think it's a shaila. But at any rate, that's what they did. That's ad kedai kach. They went so far in their tshuva that they even dismantled that which they built into, and they did tshuva. Amar Rav Abba Bar Hava, Adam Sheyesh Biyado Aveira. This is a very famous Gemara. A person who has an Aveira in his hands, umizvade, and he does vidoy, ve'enu chozer ba, but he doesn't do chozer, he doesn't do chazar, he doesn't do tshuva. So he says, it's all lip service. He says to Hashem, I'm going to change, but he doesn't actually change. Lamahu domer, what is he similar to? La Adam Shetov v'sheretz biyado. It's like a person who has a sheretz in his hands, shafilu tova b'chol meimos shuva olam. Even if he were to go to all the mikvos in the world, lo also lo tevila, the tevila would not help. Zarko miyado, but the minute that he throws the sheretz from his hands, he does the tshuva. In other words, kevan shetaval barboim saw. All he requires is arboim saw of kosher water, and also lo tevila, and that tevila is going to help. So don't think that doing lip service is going to help anything. By saying to Hashem, I'm going to change, but by not actually changing, not actually doing, or at least taking actions, taking steps that are going to get you to change, that are going to get you to tshuva. Without doing that, it's really worthless. Shenemar, umode, he who is mode, who does vidoy, ve'ozev, and he leaves his ways, yirucham. He will be appeased. He will be granted the rachmanus. But otherwise, in lieu of doing proper teshuva, your words are worthless. The Omer, and it says, Nisalev Avenu El Kapayim El Kel Bashamayim. Let us put our hearts in our hands, so to speak. In other words, our hands being the gezel that we did, let us take our hearts, meaning that which we say we're going to do and that which we actually do, and make it one, and to bring it to Hashem. The Gemara concludes, Amdu Betfila Maridin Lefnei Ateva Zakein. Okay, what they would get up is they would get up in tefillah and then they would bring a zakein down. Now, this zakein that they would have to say all these things, what is it that, what is it, what are the qualifications of this zakein? Tana Rabbanan. Everybody here, it's done already. Amdu betfila, we already done, we've done. Amdu betfila, they got up in prayer, afapi shiyesham zakein v'chacham, even if you had a zakein and a chacham, eim oridin l'thnei ateva, you cannot have any old chazin. Ela adam haragil, you have to somebody who is normal, who is accustomed to getting up so that he's not going to stammer. He's not going to make a busha out of the kehila. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mitupal ve'enlo. He has other qualifications. He has to be Mitupal ve'enlo, meaning he has to be, Mitupal means that he has children, ve'enlo, but he has nothing to support them. So he's awfully humbled because he has no money to support his family. So he's definitely in dire straits. V'yeshlo yagia basada, and he works very hard in the field. Ubeso rekam, and his house is empty. The Gemara is going to ask, you just said he has no food. So what do you mean his house is empty? I got it already. I got the point. Gemara's going to ask that. Upirko noah. And he has a pirko noah, which the Gemara is going to ask what that pirko noah is also. Veshafel berech. And he is very humble. Umerutza la'am. And he is well liked by the people. Veyeshlo ne'ima. And he has a pleasantness about him. Vekolo arev. And his voice is sweet. Ubaki likros b'tor b'neviim agsuvim v'lishnos b'medrash b'hilchos u'b'agados. He's a shtickle tamid chacham. He knows Tanakh. He knows how to read, how to learn. He knows medrash. He knows gemara. He knows agados. He knows how to learn. So he's really he's not just a wise person, but he's actually a tamid chacham. Ubaki b'chol abrachos, and he's also a baki in all the brachos, so that he, like I said, he's not going to stammer. Brachos Kulan. V'yavu be'rabbanan, and after this entire list that was read out, Yavu be'rabbanan enayhu, the Rabbanan placed their eyes on Rabbi Yitzchak Barami. Rabbi Yitzchak Barami suited them. He was the ultimate of all of these qualities. The Gemara goes on, it says, Hainu mutupal ve'enlo hainu beiso rekam. We just said that Rabbi Yehuda says, in order for you to be the chazen, you need to have mitupal ve'enlo, you need to have children but nothing to support them with, and beis orekam, and an empty house. Well, that sounds like the same thing. It sounds like hainu beis orekam, hainu mitupal ve'enlo, hainu beis orekam. It's the same thing. So Amar Rav Chizda says, no, what beis orekam? Zehu she beis orekam in a havera. That's somebody whose house is empty from averos, meaning he is a tzaddik, exactly. Upirko na'e, and he has a very he is pirko na'e. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Zeh shlo yatsa shame Rabbi Alduso. This is somebody who is not only a tzaddik now, but somebody even in his past, even as a child, you recognized this is a tzaddik. This is a tzaddik waiting to happen. You know, there are in every class. There is the tzaddik, right? You have every class. You have a tzaddik. Right? No, he's like, well, not so much.
he's like,
I guess maybe like the sixth grade, no, but not the seventh.
You have like one or two kids in class that like.
Anyway, the Gemara ends off with a pasuk, and we'll end off with this. Haisali nachalasi ka'arye bayar, my nachla. Hashem is saying, my nachla, meaning my people, are like arye bayar. They're like a lion in the forest. Nasna alai bekola. They give to me their voice, al kein sinesia, but therefore I hate them. What is this pasuk referencing? My nasna alai bekola. What does it mean that they give me their voice. Amar Marzutra Bartuvia Amarav Amrila Amarav Chami Amarav Lazar Zeshliach Tzibor. And as we have the correction over here, this is a reference to a Shliach Tzibor She'eno Hagun, who is not proper. Hayorid Lifnei Ateva. But he's not proper, but he goes in front of the Teva. So that's the lion who gets up and has this really beautiful voice. But Al Kain Sinesia, but I hate him. So that's why
he's not proper in his actions. He's not a tzaddik.
He's not a tzaddik, exactly. He's got a beautiful voice, but he's not a tzaddik. And Hashem is saying, that is not the type of Shliach Tzibur that I want davening in front of me. And we will stop here.
That's good musa.
Very good musa. It is.
So if I went to public school, was there still a tzaddik there, or is it just the guy who's not in jail?
Yeah, you're good. You're good. You're fine. You're fine.